Welcome back, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are talking this half hour with Marquette Associate Professor in the Political Science Department, Lowell Barrington. Very appreciative of your time, Professor. Before the break, you were starting to get into a description of sort of how global hegemons, or for people that don't know the wonky terms, how large global powers can choose to interact. And you were hearkening back to a period before the turn of the century and into the early 1900s, where we had what foreign policy wonks and people that study political science, as you do, called the great power approach. And I was wondering if you could explain a bit more about that and what that would mean for sort of a new world order, if you will, specifically as the United States continues to step back into what many could describe as a neo-isolationist foreign policy stance, with overtures being made to regimes that in the past were frankly off limits, like Vladimir Putin's Russia. What does this mean for U.S. national security interests, especially when we consider, for example, that Defense Secretary Hegseth also announced, I believe on Friday or Saturday, that the U.S. Cyber Command, he directed them to stop all activities and actions that were offensive digital actions involving Russia. What does this mean for U.S. national security, for the safety of our country, given, again, these preconditions that we've been discussing?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I think that decision had been made, obviously, in advance of Friday, probably by quite a bit, but it is important to link that decision about ending offensive cyber activities against Russia in with what happened on Friday. I think that is right. The great power idea is that, you know, the world gets kind of carved up into different realms, and great powers fight it out sometimes in larger wars, sometimes in smaller wars. But it's really this emphasis on those who have power get to do what they want. And it's a competition instead of a cooperation approach that I think we also see it as a big move away from what is often called soft power, mm-hmm. this idea of diplomacy and aid, right? I mean, I think, again, lost in the shuffle is our decision to essentially abandon USAID activities
right.
around the world, which is, compared to military spending, an incredibly cheap investment in goodwill and connections around the world. So I think that that's one of the things that we're seeing here. And so, I was kind of joking before about not thinking that President Trump thinks in these international relations theoretical terms. But he does think in terms of those with power get to do what they want and do it kind of quickly. I would say the other thing about the situation we're moving into is someone who thinks in the immediate term, whether it's been his business situation, not always thinking 10, 15 years down the road. And one thing I'd mention about Friday, because I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this, is President Trump also got a small win. I mean, Putin was the big winner, but President Trump got a small win because he was able to portray, maybe incorrectly, but portray Ukraine as not ready for peace. And so he can now say, well, okay, I tried. They're just not ready. It's not going to work. And basically can explain away his campaign claim that he would end the war between Ukraine and Russia in one day if he just got into office. And so his idea now will be, well, Ukraine just doesn't want that kind of peace.
If I may, just to intersect these ideas, again, the great power concept from the prior turn of the century being, if you have power, you get to do what you want as you will. And this idea of Trump spinning Zelensky and Ukraine as not ready for peace, the key here is not ready for peace on terms dictated by the great powers, right? That we're not picking our allies based on having vibrant democracies, being a fledgling democracy, observing a free press, protecting human rights. That was as much what the U.S. expenditures to create soft power over the last near century were about, right? To help support growing democracies, to oppose oppressive regimes, and that this intersection is very real. The idea that two great powers would simply dictate to a third country the terms at which they will accept peace or be destroyed has not been a concept we have seen embraced on any international stage or circumstance by the United States for nearly a century.
Yeah, I'll take a step even beyond that. I think, and you had a JFK quote early on today, and I'll throw out a Ronald Reagan quote, which is there's no argument about the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it really quickly, and that's to surrender. And so I think there's this sense that right now what we have is Ukraine is the one who's weak. They're the one who, you know, the war isn't going well. So they don't get to determine what's going to happen. They don't get to have a say in that. And it's really for the countries like, you know, Russia and the U.S. to figure out how to handle that situation. And again, that's a really concerning turn away from things that we've, you know, traditionally thought of in international relations for quite a while now, as you said, but also for a body like NATO. I mean, the whole idea of NATO is you don't get to tell a NATO member or even allies of NATO that we're going to tell you when you get to surrender, and it's just going to be entirely on our terms. And NATO has been successful precisely because that's not how we've been acting.
Professor, we've got just about a minute left. Can you speak to the people of Wisconsin? Let them know, what does this mean for Wisconsinites? What does this mean for families that may have sons and daughters that are serving in our military?
Yeah, I think one of the bigger picture issues here is a perception that the U.S. can essentially isolate on its own terms, that it can back out of inconvenient things internationally that it feels like should be somebody else's problem, but then just interject itself whenever it wants to on other things. And again, that has been tried in the past, and the outcome hasn't been a very good one.
Folks, that is Professor Lowell Barrington, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. Professor, thank you so much for your insights. I'd love to have you back sometime to continue this discussion.
Thank you, Maggie. I appreciate it.
I'm Maggie Dawn, everyone. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. When we come back, we'll talk about the lies being told to you about cuts to Social Security and other benefits by Wisconsin's very own Senators Ron Johnson and Representative Van Orten, Steyl, Tiffany, and the rest of them. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.